You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. On this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Jen B. Now, like many people, at one time, Jen had a very specific idea about how her adult life should go and what success meant. Her story is rooted in her family culture, her love of the people in her life, and her ability to do hard things. She shares with us how an everyday, very run-of-the-mill, mundane conversation with a coworker turned out to be a thing that actually challenged her to redefine her personal idea of success. We do also talk a little bit about college sports, so there's that too. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's do this. Jen B., welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Thank you. Excited
Yay.
To be here.
All right, me too. All right, are you ready for a chat?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I begin every interview asking people, what part of the world do you call home? I know where you call home, but go ahead and share with the audience where you live.
Yeah, home currently is a little bit outside of Denver, Colorado. I live by the airport, but I'm a girl born and raised in Florida who's stuck in the cold.
Yeah, we have a regional connection because I live where you used to live. So right. I'd love to learn a little bit more about you as a personal background, connect with the audience before we dive into the topic of the day. Tell us a little bit about yourself outside of work, maybe the important people in your life now, maybe the names of your pets or a favorite hobby, whatever small thing or big thing you want to share with us before we start.
Awesome. Yeah. So I did mention I'm from Florida. I actually graduated from the University of Florida, so I'm a crazy college football fan, and I do March Madness as well. Beyond that, my life led me to California, where I met my amazing wife. We have been married this year for 10 years, and I have two foster to adopt boys. They were adopted in 2020 and 2022, and because, you know, we needed to round out the family. We also have two amazing pups. Ollie is my German Shepherd Hound. She is basically my Eeyore. And Sammy is a little sulky terrier, and he is the terror of the family. So that is what happens here, right? When it's not other things like, you know, on social media or whatever the case may be. I'm pretty active on there. One of the things that brings me a lot of joy, though, Amy, is working out. So I've been doing that consistently for about 7 years, and I like to lift heavy things.
It's good for us. If people had not been watching the fitness news, lifting heavy stuff is good for us. Contrary to what you might want it to be the case, it's good for us. All right, now we're not talking about fitness, although we could.
We could totally go there, but yes.
And we're not going to talk about college basketball because this episode is going to go live after March Madness. But I did restock my March Madness stuff. I am the parent of a proud Florida Gator and the parent of a proud Wolverine, and I myself am a Jayhawk. So it's a busy time of year here, but I bought new mugs and a new hat, and we will watch the bracket. But that will be over by the time anybody else hears this. The topic of the day that you proposed is about redefining success for yourself. And so how does that sound? Let's talk about that, yeah?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So you and I do actually know each other a little bit in real life, not like a huge amount. I know that you do quite a bit of public speaking, actually, is one of the things that I know. And one of the things that can happen when I talk to somebody who does a lot of public speaking is they often have a very prepared presentation, right? That's what we expect of them. That's what makes the presentation good, is when it's really well done. But in a conversation like this, which is a little bit more personal, I like to push the envelope a teeny tiny bit. So if you're game, I'm going to push for the story behind the story about what the success is. All right. On the application, you said that you grew up in a family where success was obtaining a degree, getting a corporate job, staying there until you retired. Do you want to share with us a little bit about your family growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll actually even take you a little bit further back. So both of my parents are Cuban immigrants. My father was a political prisoner in Cuba. He was incarcerated for 12 years. And the reason we ended up in the United States is because he ended up getting amnesty. So while there was this big push for education in my household, frankly, neither one of my parents knew what it meant to do it in the States, right? So, growing up, a lot of lack of worthiness, confidence. I mean, that could be a much deeper story we can go into, but I wasn't finding my place. But all I kept hearing was the way you make it, whatever that may mean for whoever's listening, is to get an education and to get a degree and to get a college degree. And one of the amazing things, Amy, that has happened for me in my life is that community in some way or shape or form has always shown up. So I remember like my parents preaching education, but it's like, how do you apply for college? How do you pay for college? Where do you go? What do you take? What grades do you need to have? I mean, there's so many things, right? And it's in this perfect way that they come together that then that's your options, right? Where you're gonna go to school and things along those lines. Well, I had this amazing high school mentor, and he was a counselor, but my school was like 2x overcrowded. There were like 200% more students than needed to be there. So I was very
As
surprised.
is the norm for anybody who's listening for the
That's
state of
true.
Florida. I gotta tell you, like we actually, I don't know if that's still true. It pretty much is, like, because we have a shrinking in Miami, we have a shrinking base of kids, like that's adults and things that are growing. But the schools are very, very crowded down here.
Very crowded, yes. So I went to school actually in Miami Springs.
Okay.
I mean, this amazing individual who showed up for me. And so we started piecing the things together and doing the thing, right? But the expectation was that I was going to go away or I was going to go to college. You know, I kind of shocked my mom because when, again, all this, like, gotta go to school, you gotta go to school. Well, I decided to stay in state, but I decided to go pretty far north. And for my family, that was not what they wanted or expected. So the first kind of weird thing that ends up happening, it's like, look, Mom, I made it. But it's not in the way they wanted it to be. And so it's interesting how, again, from not even just that conversation, what is seen as success, and what is societal success. Ideally, they would have liked me to stay in Miami and go to school there, and that didn't
That's
happen.
what I was going to ask you. Like, so they would have liked for you to go to maybe
Florida International
FIU.
School or something like that. And again, all fine schools, University of Miami, et cetera. But for me, I felt in my heart of hearts that I wanted to create everything anew. I wanted to get away. I wanted to have, I didn't even know what it meant at that point, but like a go away to college experience. And so that's what I, right? And I ended up getting accepted to the University of Florida. And again, that's kind of why I'm crazy college football fan and basketball fan, but you know, did the thing. I, you know, was a very good student, I'd say, very much a rule follower. And math had always come easy to me.
So, well,
English is
let's touch on the rule follower thing, because I think that makes sense given your past. But first, we have to give a little Florida lesson to the people who are not listening. Some of the tricky things about the part of Miami, if you don't know and you don't live here, is that Miami is, of course, a city, but then we name all of the small cities around it also parts of Miami. So you have Miami, you have South Miami, you have Miami Springs, you have Miami Beach, you have Miami Shores. These are all just to confuse people. The public schools in Florida, FIU, which is one of the largest schools now in the country, is our school in Miami, even though we call it FIU. The University of Miami is a private university, which is in Coral Gables, its own city, not actually in Miami, which is just hilarious. It is Miami. That's just a distinction for just arbitrary thing. And then the University of Florida, one of the best schools in the country, public schools in the country, is in Gainesville, Florida, which is, if you hoof it fast, 5.5 hours from Miami. Yeah, so it's far away. So you were going pretty far away. Okay, so you said you were a rule follower. You also shared with us that your dad was somebody who faced a very, very stiff penalty
Correct.
for not following the rules. So it doesn't surprise me at all that you would grow up with a very realistic, a good lesson. Like, the value is the way we don't get in trouble is we follow the rules that people give us.
Yes. I mean, I can imagine, and I never really truly have had a lot of this very deep conversation. So just to let y'all know, I lost my father at 18, my first semester in college. And I can imagine that as immigrants, everything was scary when they first got here. And so not only do you have this past and this story of extreme hardship, you are trying to make it in a place that is, it's an unknown, it's uncertain. And so what do? You do the best you can by following the rules you have, or whatever rules you think there are. And I grew up in this environment where there was right and there was wrong, right? There was black and there was white. And funny enough, it's not who I am today, and that's how life changes and things happen. But at that point, that is what felt good for me as well. And English isn't my first language, Spanish is.
Were you
And
born here or did you come as a
I was
baby?
born here. I was born in
You're born here.
Miami.
Okay.
Yeah. But Spanish was my first language. And I
Sure.
always tell people it's like when you learn how to speak English or different a foreign language in your own household, and your household only speaks English. So like I'm trying to learn French, and like it's hard to get the practice in. So I never really truly until about the age of eight was truly immersed, because most of my friends were kind of in my same boat and we were speaking Spanish to each other. So it took me a while to get there. And I just remember math being more my thing, because 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't matter what language you say it in. So when I ended up going to the University of Florida, I ended up going with what felt safe. And what felt safe was finance. So I stepped into accounting and finance and did that for a couple years. At the end of the day, changed majors a couple times, but I ended up graduating with that degree. So on paper, everything looks amazing, right? I first generation high school student. I just got my bachelor's in finance, and I went to find a job. And one really interesting thing, major life thing happened to me in college. I was recruited for a door-to-door sales job when I was in college.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So my parents didn't have the financial income to pay for school. So it's for me to figure it out. And I was very blessed with scholarships and grants and things along those lines, but the line was still red. What I meant is there's still debt, right? And I know that many of us graduate with debt in this world. And it was my way of saying, okay, at least how do I pay for my day-to-day expenses so I don't go into debt? So I ended up coming across this summer job where, I mean, it completely changed my entire life and my entire viewpoint. It was a door-to-door job. They
Okay.
would give you, what was that?
I'm waiting for you to tell us who it was. I'm like, I have like all of these options in my head.
There was with a company called the Southwestern Company that is still in business. They've been in business for about 175 years, and they started selling Bibles door to door. But by the time that I showed up, they had more diversity in their products. So the way it works is you basically get assigned a territory nowhere near your friends or family. So that sounds a little weird. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And so I actually ended up in the middle of Ohio for my first summer.
Selling
But
books and magazines, or
we didn't sell magazines. We sold educational products that helped kids with homework, tests, and quizzes from grade school all the way to college.
so I
So
was
they were.
expecting you to say that you went to work for Cutco, like, because that's like one of
No,
the
not.
other, but like other things that can change your life. But this is also very good, and it
Similar.
will, yeah,
Very
similar,
similar.
except they didn't pitch you against your friends. So let's back up just a teeny tiny bit before we talk about that summer in Ohio, which. There's a joke in there somewhere that you went from Florida to Ohio. I just can't think of the punchline quite yet. But because we're like the root of every like crazy story around the country. Like if something crazy is on the news, you don't even have to look before you're like, that happened in either Florida or Ohio. That's a Florida, Ohio story. All right, anyway. But who would you say, and people are not gonna be surprised by your answer here, who would you say is the most influential person to you when you were growing up in your family?
I mean, hands down, my dad. And I think a part of it was circumstances, because my father ended up with terminal kidney failure by my age of 10, and so he became permanently disabled and couldn't work. So I as an only child, like we would spend all of our time together. He was my everything. And very, for his background, that's part of the reason I look up to him so much. The most positive man you will ever meet in your life. Every
Wow.
day was like the best freaking day in the world. And I'm like, in my mind as a kid, I'm like, Dad, you're sick. And
Yeah.
Dad, you're not getting a transplant. And Dad, there's only one outcome here. But every day was the best freaking day in the world. And so that stuck with me. And so this is why, even in the stuff, there's usually something we can be grateful for. And I learned that from that amazing man.
That is really fabulous. That is really, really fabulous. All right, so you have this role model in your father who is teaching, showing you by example, positivity, overcoming adversity. This is not the story of this interview, but being an exile from Cuba, moving to the United States is a transformative experience that transformed an entire community. It's a whole other thing. And you go to the University of Florida, you study finance. You're still a student. You get a summer job, business experience, selling, sounds like maybe slightly religious books in Ohio.
But there were yes, I did have
Okay.
a my pack, but everything else was not religious based.
A lot of early childhood education is run by faith-based organizations. That's like
Yes.
a, that is definitely a thing. So you get assigned a spot in Ohio. Do they hook you up with a place to live? Like to, I have questions.
I'm sure you have questions. It's all very intriguing. And honestly, when you really talk about it out loud and you're like removed from it now, it's like, what in the world did I do? But it's made me very much who I am today. And so, I've come across this question before. Would I opt in knowing what I know today, but based on who I've become? And the answer is yes. I would
Okay.
still. So no, Amy. The way that you look for a place to live is you knock on doors or you're set up with a host family. So either somebody in that town who's hosted what we call book kids before, or someone that you just come across, you knock on their door and you say, "Yo, I'm gonna be in town for the next 13 weeks. I'm working 80 hours a week," which was the schedule. I'm not really gonna be much at home, but I need a place to keep my stuff and a place to sleep. Will you let me stay with you? One of the things that I've figured out about this world is there are so many good people.
Yes.
So many amazing people. And every single, I did this 3 years.
You
After
repeated it?
I did. My second summer was in Mississippi and my third summer was in Kentucky. And I repeated it. Again, I highly value that experience for helping me, who used to be pretty extreme introvert because people were scary and people could hurt you because of, again, how I grew up and bullying and
Yep.
belonging and all the things, to them being like, no, there's actually, my father told me. And then you end up finding the people who validate the stories. And you're like, yo, so you didn't purchase for me today because it's 100% commission based. You didn't purchase for me today. But when my car fell in the ditch, and I walked half a mile to your door and knocked on the door, and you brought out your tractor and you got my car out. Like, that is a freaking epic story. And
Yes.
so I ended up picking up all these stories over the course of 3 years, yes, 13 weeks apiece. And the great moral at the end of the day is, yes, I made it and I came back because it was financially lucrative for me to do so as well. But what ends up happening is that my self-belief and confidence start to snap into place,
Well,
right?
that is if you can do direct sales, face-to-face direct sales, there's a skill in there that you can use over and over again. And I've never known anybody who sold books. I do get the door, people who knock on my door. Usually it's magazines. I'm trying to think of what I would say now if they said they didn't have a place to stay. Like I'm running that scenario in my mind. Like, what would I do if a kid came up and was like, I do not have a place to stay? Because I've never gotten that at my door. I do have a kid who did do a summer of work with, I think it's Vector is the name of the Cutco knife company, which is also direct sales, which is why anytime anybody calls and is like, can I do a presentation of my knives for you? I'm like, you can. You have to know that I already own everything they've ever sold, but I'm happy to sit through your presentation if you're still in that phase of your training. But I just there's not, they have a lifetime guarantee. So once you buy all of the things, like I can't like rebuy it. I'm not a good person. So, but that is very cool. So it was financially viable. You do this for 3 summers. You build up what I will describe then as maybe the thickest skin that anybody could ever get because you're face to face asking people to buy books. Do you go graduate and get a job in finance and sales and business?
So I ended up getting my first job out of college was I used to sell alarm systems door to door.
Okay, all right.
And so, but I very, very quickly got burnt out because it was in 13 weeks. It was your
Forever.
career and however long you wanted to do this for. So then I ended up pivoting to financial sales, and I did work for a bank, and I worked
Okay.
around for a year and a half. Now, to add to the story, and maybe a little floor geography here is helpful as well, but this entire time that I'm working, I'm still in Gainesville.
Okay.
And Gainesville is a college town. It's not really like an employer, people don't usually go there looking for a job. And so my partner at the time was getting her law degree. And so that's the reason I stayed in Gainesville. So here I am. I'm not fully satisfied with my job. I don't want to go back into direct sales. What do I do? Well, in a college town, it's very easy to go back to school. So I ended up going back to Florida and getting my MBA. And
Okay.
that's my entire career trajectory changed over the course of a dare. Truly, I stepped into a career based on a dare. And
Okay, but let's back up. So your dad has passed away. He is the one who planted the seed for you. He and your mom, I'm sure, also had that. They planted the seed for you that if you follow the instructions, if you stay in school, if you get a job with an employer, that equals success. At this point, you're in your early 20s, early to mid 20s. Go
my
back to
journal.
grad school.
Yep.
Yeah. What feels like success at that point? 'Cause you've made a decision to stay while your partner is going to grad school, or in school. You're making some decisions. You're in a job that maybe you don't love quite so much. What does success feel to you at that point? What are you beginning to
In a
think?
job within my certificate, which was human resources,
Okay.
and having stability and certainty. I wanted to work for a company that was known. I wanted to
So
work for a
you
company.
wanted recognition, like stability, something bigger. Okay, that's what looked like success. So
At that point.
you go back to school, you're in an MBA. How did this dare come about? Like, what was happening before the dare came up? Was there a sporting event? Was there a bar?
No, none of those things actually. The MBA program
Good.
I went through Florida was a 9-month program. It was very, very short and very, very intense. And in the first 6 weeks, every single student took the same classes. And then after that, you make your selectives and your electives and things like that. And I ended up coming across someone who said to me, because we all had employers before, we didn't go straight from school to graduate school. I said, what did you do? Like, what did you used to do? And she was like, I used to work in human resources, for Florida, actually, University of Florida. And I said, oh, okay, please give me some grace as I say this comment. You're like the old lady who gives me the paycheck at my job. Got it. And clearly my definition of what human resources was and this person's identity and what she did was very different than the real world. So she says, well, since that's what you think I do, I dare you to take an HR class. And it was training and development, employment law, negotiation, a whole bunch of different things. And so I stepped into my first HR certificate because I needed to declare something. So I'm like, what do I do? Okay, that sounds appealing enough. I went in training and development. I liked the class. And then after that, absolutely fell in love with employment law, and fell in love with the rest of the curriculum. So by the time I had graduated, I had a degree, a certificate in HR. But success was such a big thing about going into HR because I absolutely had no experience in
Okay.
the HR industry. So my whole thing was, what can I be hired? Will somebody actually take a chance on me? And the answer is yes, because again, the universe has a funny way of working out when you believe it can. And I ended up with my first job was in the middle of nowhere in North Carolina. I relocated for a position. And I work for JCPenney Logistics
Okay.
as a human resource.
What year was that, JCPenney Logistics? That'll
I got a job in the year that most people say is really hard a year to get a job. 2008 is when I
2000.
graduated.
So I don't know that JCPenney is still with us. Like, is
JCPenney's
JCPenney's
still around, yes.
JCPenney's still, all right. That's the reason I was like, wow, do we still have a J the like so like because a lot of those anyway. JCPenney was a great store. I loved it. Still love it if it's still around. The JCPenney's that are by me are not anymore. So you get a job 2010. Yeah, that was a rough year for a
2008.
lot. 2008. That was right in the middle of what do we call that? The Great Recession? Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, the
Something
economy.
like that.
But
That
anyway,
was
things are
when
hard.
things
There
were
was a lot
hard.
of foreclosure. Yeah.
There was it was not the story that was on the news, but I was in so 2007, I was working out with a trainer, some personal trainer, who while I was like doing, push-ups or sit-ups or whatever, was telling me about all of the income properties that they had leveraged on 100%+. And I was thinking to myself, that math doesn't track in my I know what I'm paying you. I know how many days are in the week and how many hours in the day. I'm like, I don't know how. Okay. And then shortly after that, the house of
And we
cards came
figured that
falling
out.
down.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, all right. So you get the job in HR, you get the external validation. You are hireable. Do you feel like a success then?
Absolutely.
Amazing.
I felt like I was part of the leadership team. I enjoyed who I worked for. I bought a brand new car off the lot. And very shortly after that, I would buy my first home. So on paper, again, I keep saying on paper, right? Everything that had happened, even just in the beginning of my career, was even bigger than what my parents ever thought could have been possible.
Which is
And
great.
right. And it for me, I also had known that because of seeing friends in different situations, this didn't have to be the outcome. I knew that there was some internal fortitude that it took to get to where I was. So I felt pretty good about me in general, my own success. And so, I mean, there were definitely, so my job in North Carolina as a human resources generalist then ends up for relocation, and they end up relocating to California. And again, everything I had been told, oh, higher level people get relocated, right? And so it
Okay.
came with this level of prestige, right? And I got set up in temporary housing for 3 months and I lived in Fullerton, California. Loved the place. It was amazing. Okay. So I'm feeling good about career. I'm feeling good about these things I'm doing.
Do you like the job you're doing?
I am. And then I had somebody else come into my life through the wrench wouldn't be the right word because it was an amazing wrench, whatever the word is for that. But definitely my mindset starts to change.
All right, so at this time though, you're feeling very proud of yourself for what you've gotten. You've checked the boxes off and you're enjoying, you've relocated to California, you're getting recognition, you like the work you're doing, you like California. And so all these things sound like they're up and up. What happens to make you shift and say, oh, this is not success anymore?
Well, unfortunately, my definition of HR was not the most employee friendly.
Okay.
Very much about terminations and manager acceptance. And while I was feeling good about me, that was a big part of my people pleasing back then. And it was about working with the managers, being loved by them, regardless of consequences for employees. It's terrible to say, but that is what ends up happening. And so I end up working for an individual who has a complete different mindset about human resources.
Okay.
And his whole mindset is get to know the employee, work alongside the employee, be an employee advocate. And so he changes my mindset. But the way this happened is because one day I walked into his office to get approval for a termination,
Okay.
and his name is Martin. And he looked over his glasses and I'll never forget the look. And he like literally puts down the piece of paper and a pen and he just looks at me. He's like, "What will you be known for?" I'm like, I was 28. I'm like, "What do you?" I'm not quite sure I'm picking up what you're putting down, kind of thing. And I realized in that moment he was asking me, "Who do you want to be?"
Okay.
Add to the story, about 2 months later, we were all being in the facility. There it was a big facility, and I worked in logistics, and so there's a lot of managers, probably about 40, and we're being corralled into this conference room, and I'm like, "What is going on? This feels really weird." Okay, and I look around. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning, and like I don't see Martin, and I'm like, "What happened to Martin?" And then we got told real quick, Martin had actually been killed in a car accident the night before.
Ooh, all right. So Martin asks you, you're 28, you're feeling good about the choices you're making. I do think that's an interesting question to ask a 28-year-old. I'm going to put it on my list with things. One of my favorite things is when you ask a 21-year-old, where do you see yourself in 5 years? It's like, well, 5 years ago I was in high school, so I don't know. But to ask a 28-year-old, I think that most of us don't actually, we're not at that point kind of yet thinking about legacy or reputation. We're very much, we've just sort of knocked off the big check marks that we've done. You know, we've graduated, we've gotten our first job, we've secured our first big loans for houses and homes. I mean, homes and cars, right? That's, we're like, no, I'm on the fast path. Things are going well. So when you said that, what do you want to be known? What will you be known for? Did you have an answer in your head, or was it just sort of blank space? Like, dude, what are you talking about?
I think I had some blank space, but I think also was very defensive.
Okay.
I think I took it more to the extent of like, well, I guess this isn't the approach. Basically, me with determination and looking for people approval, people pleasing. And I went back and I did rewrite that, and the employee kept their job, and I remember that being the outcome. But when he passes away, I'm like, oh,
This is something that could happen to me.
right. And I had experienced that with my father. And
I was gonna say, so you did not put that on your, because your, you would, I used to always remember your dad was sick. He was sick when you were young, so you didn't have to question it.
right. And so
Yeah.
now I'm like, okay, life can change in the course of a second. And Martin was in his 50s and he had plenty of life to live. And so it hit me really, really hard. So
And it
I
was
ended
a
up making.
stunning thing because it wasn't anything he did.
Right.
He wasn't sick.
And I ended up making all these bracelets for all the managers. And I had several for many years that said, what will you be known for on them? And then it said
Okay.
MM. His name was Martin Moreno. And so I basically, as far as the story continuing, I ended up doing about another year in California at the logistics center. And then I met, had met my wife my first day in California.
Okay.
So she wants to relocate for grad school. And so we end up relocating to Colorado, where I currently live. And so when we relocated here, I transitioned again with JCPenney. Okay.
Okay. So still with JCPenney, still on the corporate track.
Still on the corporate track. This point, that position led me to retail, and I very quickly figured out that I didn't love retail. And so I also worked on Black Friday and had to staff a significant store. So that was the end of my JCPenney chapter.
So you were in HR, or you were working retail, client facing?
I was in HR. I was the HR leader for the store. There were about
Okay.
200 and some employees. But if that time of year is a very roll up your sleeve. I don't care what your
Yeah.
job title is. You know, check out the person, put the thing on the shelf, et cetera. And so that's where I was. It was in the thick of it all. And I will have to say, if you work a Black Friday, my heart goes out to you. It is a hard, hard day to work in retail.
It really is.
And so that was the end of my JCPenney chapter. But my
It's
HR
like
company.
the day you went in, the what we would call, so it's Black Friday. What do we, so you went in on like Monday and you're like, thank
No,
you,
I ended up
goodbye.
working 3 more months for them.
But you made the decision on Black Friday. You
Yes.
went home, you were sitting in the car in the parking lot on the way home, and you're like, something has got to change.
Yes, this is not,
Okay.
yes, this is not where I'm going to stick around for a long, long time. So I ended up looking for another job and ended up securing another job. And then built at that point, I was about 5.5 years into human resources. So for about the next 8.5 years, I still worked in HR. My
Okay.
big pivotal event, entrepreneurship, ends up coming later. But in that process, ended up working for 4 different companies, all really, really well known, except for the last one. But a lot of going through the motions.
So, okay, so you're working with other companies
Yeah.
and you're in Colorado and you've got this relationship that turns out to be a forever relationship. Which at the beginning maybe you don't know, but maybe you figure it out as you're going along. And what is your idea of success feeling like at that point then?
I honestly, probably about 8 years into human resources, so still a good 6 years before I left, starting coming up with a plan B. And my plan B sounded like this. When I retire at the age of 50, because that was my plan at that point. I will do two things. I will be a real estate agent and I'll be an Orange Theory coach.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So I knew at that point that HR wasn't going to be my forever job. I was not going to be 65 and retiring.
But you were doing the thing that we do so often, which is, oh, I'll do this in the future. Like you set a benchmark. You're like, here's the goalpost. I have to get
Correct.
to here before I can make a change. I'm not allowed to do it until
Yes.
I'm 50. I'm not allowed to do it until I have $2 in the bank.
This
So
is what
you,
I call the when-then game. When
I
this
win.
happens, then I'll do that. When I turn 50, then I'll do that, right? Or when my kids grow up, then I'll take care of myself or whatever the case may be. So I was playing my own version of the when-then game.
Very good. All right. So here's a different question, like sort of a pivot. Do you think that everybody has the same idea of what success is? Like, do you think, and what I mean by that is, as people are listening to this, do you think that everybody would necessarily be happier if they thought about it a lot, if they quit their jobs, if they worked for themselves, if they quit their jobs and moved across the country?
No, I think success is one of those things that's not even one in a million. What I mean by that is it is so unique and so individual to each and every one of us that everybody's definition is going to be different. I think what I'm finding more, again, we can go into the little bit of rest of my story here in a second, but it's a lot of delaying.
Delaying. All right. So let's click. I'm going to click a little bit more on that idea of success, right? Because as you tell the story today, you were going through and sort of refining this under the same sort of within the same constraints, job, employer, boss. Do you think that really almost everybody or all the people or none of the people really should be questioning the ideas and values that they pick up from their family of origin? Or is that something that you only actually need to do if you find yourself like not being happy?
No, I think life is a constant game of awareness and reflection. And I think that we pick up stories, many stories along the ways. Yes, a lot of my stories, a lot of our stories are inherited by our parents, right? It's what we see them do or not do that we're like, okay, I'm going to do something different or I'm going to do something the same. But ultimately, us as individuals are constantly growing if we allow ourselves to constantly grow.
Yeah. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation with someone who's like totally not like I feel very much like you do, but every once in a while I end up with a in a conversation with someone who just absolutely is not on board with that. They're not a personal development person. They're like, "No, everything is fine." And I'm like, "Wow. I didn't
Absolutely.
know you were out there."
Absolutely. I've had a lot of these conversations. And again, this is like the evidence or the information that you pick up along the way. And you pick this, little thing from this person and this thing from my dad and this thing from here. And then
Yeah.
at the end of the day, you're like, what the heck do I have? Right. But, part of my job responsibility in human resources as well was to do exit interviews.
Yep.
And I ended up working for companies that were fairly stable. And so people would stay in their jobs for many, many years. And you go through this exit interview, and what you're basically hearing is this 30-year employee who has hated his job, has hated his manager, hasn't applied for a promotion, hasn't done these things. And I'm like, in my mindset, because I think a little differently, dude, you've been here 30 years. Like, you probably figured that out pretty quickly. Oh, yeah, I knew this since like year two, but I had to feed, and I get it. Feed my family, pay my kids college, do all these things. And so we end up sacrificing long-term happiness, success, and whatever else is out there for us for certainty based in fear.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets very sad for me. But again, I can't, I There's a lot of grace there because I've done it myself.
Yeah.
I have kept myself stuck because of fear. My parents' story, like put food on the table. That's a basic need. Like it doesn't matter what your manager's telling you, put food on the table, right? And so constant growth for me, I also, and frankly, I think it's a luxury. I
Yeah,
don't think
I think
everybody
that's
has
true.
the ability to be in constant growth because some things our basic needs.
And they may not want to. I actually do know people who are very, very happy, even though what pays the bills gives them just mundane, not like a super, because of other parts of their life. that are made possible by that thing. And they make that deal and they're thrilled with it, happy to go and check the boxes so that they can spelunk 5 weeks a year, or whatever their passion is. And so there's not just one, but I thought that it would be interesting to, because you are definitely a person who pushes the boundaries, who takes risks,
Right.
who is there is a through line in this that you will put a, if you are in an uncomfortable situation, you get comfortable. So door-to-door book selling, most of us are going to say that's not our top in Mississippi and Kentucky in the summertime. Holy Maloney, that would be uncomfortable,
I drank a
even if
lot of
you,
sweet tea.
I mean, and sweat through a lot of shirts, I bet.
I did. I did. I
That
actually,
is an uncomfortable situation.
you just made me think of this, but my second summer in Mississippi, I swore it rained every freaking day. And it's not like you stay in your car. And so I remember my shoes and my socks just making this sound.
The squishy sound, and you kept going because
Yeah,
it's all
we kept moving.
commission.
So, yeah.
It's all commission. I actually do know somebody who is selling solar panels now. He's young. He's a son of a longtime friend and passionate skier. So snow skier. And so in the off season, he does door-to-door solar panel sales wherever he
Okay.
is and makes enough money to pay for his skiing. And the last time I saw him, about a year ago, I was like, how long do you think you'll be doing this? And thinking to myself, you may not want to be doing this when you're 55. Skiing might get a little, but maybe, right? We'll see. Who knows? I don't know. And, but like we were talking about before, he was not in that frame of mind at all. Like, life is great right now. This works for me exactly the way I want it. All right. So, I know this timeline because you gave it to me, not because I can read your mind, but you leave corporate in 2022. Do you go straight to entrepreneurship?
I did. I did.
Okay.
I actually have been in the process of considering entrepreneurship for my last year in corporate. My job at one point starts to feel very hypocritical because my, so I was a generalist, basically a little bit of everything, the open door, really sitting down with the employees, listening to their stories, hiring, terminating, all the things. And part of my job was engagement and keeping people in the seat. And I start to realize I don't want to be in the seat,
Okay.
but my job is to keep you in the seat. And so it starts being very unaligned and hypocritical at some point where I'm like, I got to get out. Like, I'm not 50,
Right.
but the time has come. And because life has a funny way of working out, my last year in corporate America, I was approached by a friend of a friend who was a coach who said, hey, we should start a business together. And I was like, again, the success mindset. I went through the list. I've got a good job. I got a certain job. I've got good income. My family relationships are pretty stable. And you're asking me to throw all that out the window.
Yep.
Like, that's where I have this moment of what do I do? But the more that this entrepreneurial work started, the more I started falling in love with it. And it's funny how when you are so aligned in your purpose and so aligned in what you want to do, that the reason I set 50 is because in my mind, that would be financial stability. At that
Okay.
point, I would have enough of a nest egg and I would have enough of the things that I thought were important to leave.
Does that happen to people? Like, I'm waiting for that to happen in my life, where the expenses suddenly go away and there's nothing. Like,
Right. And again, this is my, who knows, right? But this is what I'm thinking. And some of those things were in place, but not all of them. And even through that, I decided enough was enough and I decided to leave.
And did you just make the decision or did something happen? So somebody offers you an exit ramp. They say, hey, come do this with me. So that's one thing. And then do you just make the decision independently, like enough is enough and I'm going to do this? Or does something happen that flips the switch where you're like, okay, I can't anymore?
I wouldn't say anything super drastic happened, but here's one of the things I did find out. So 6 years before that, that's when I fully step into my own authenticity, vulnerability, and I am who I am, take it or leave it.
Okay.
I'm stepping into this place of like, I love me with all my wonky and all of my amazing pieces. And so it starts to unleash this level of confidence within me where I feel really good. Like,
Okay.
I'm no longer looking for the people approval. I am like whole as I am. And I thought, because again, I'm part of a fitness community, how epic would it be? And I uncovered that in that fitness community. That's really where it starts. But I thought, how epic would it be if more people could live their life like this? That was a question. I didn't have a plan. But then this
Okay.
person shows up and I'm like, oh, so you start putting things together and you're like, maybe this can work out. And so I, again, I'm feeling hypocritical. I'm feeling like this could work out. And honestly, because of my story regarding consistency and like selling books door to door and doing some of the crazy things like that, I was like, if I give this my all, it will work out. And I
Okay.
can think of a situation in my life where I had given something my all and it was fully aligned and it had not gone in a way that served me. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go take a bet on myself. Now, the day I left corporate is December 31st, 2022. The reason that is important is because my father passed away on December 31st of 2001.
Okay.
So I see this as a get your butt out there and go do the work. Now, one very, very amazing thing that also happened is that my wife ended up getting a significant pay bump at work. So all these things that were happening, I started to realize I had two options, but both of those things were centered on me. I was the one that could decide to be in my own way, or I could was the one that could decide to get out of my own way because everything around me was working out exactly as I needed it to.
All right.
So I said, well, here we go. And so January 1st of 2023, I stepped into full-on entrepreneurship. A lot of wonkiness in it, Amy. My doors to my first business were closed by July of 2023.
So
And it was
yeah, so that's an important part of this story, 'cause you start this with the idea that if you give it your all, that it's definitely going to work. And then it turns out that it doesn't.
Right.
So was that a gut check moment where you're like, okay, maybe I need to go back and get another job, or?
Yeah, your brain has an amazing way of trying to keep you safe. And by safe, at that point for me, it was certainty and income.
Yep. I think
But
for a lot of people that's true.
absolutely.
Yes. As it should be.
My wife gave me a great gift, and I didn't even know how great of a gift it was before I stepped into entrepreneurship. She basically said, if you're going to leave corporate, you got to give entrepreneurship at least a 2-year chance.
Oh, that's very interesting. Why did she say that? How did she come up with that? Do you know? Have you
I
asked her?
think she's very intuitive, very
Okay.
smart. And I think she knew that it was not going to be easy. And I think she knew that I would very easily have the ability to waffle and say, oh, I'm scared. Okay, I'm going to go press the button and apply for another job. And her father also is an entrepreneur. He owns a
Okay.
agency. So she kind of grew up in that world a bit. And so she says this. In January, February of 2023, we're just fine. By March, the gremlins in the head start to really bark because
Okay.
money is coming in consistently. And up to that point, it had been the breadwinner for my family. So, April, May. I remember May not making one single penny. I was like, whoa. Okay. And somehow still believing that if I took action and I surrounded myself with people, that it would all work out. I didn't necessarily have the evidence because I wasn't having clients, I wasn't having money in the account. But between that, I felt like I just got to wake up and do it again.
So let's bring this back to success, and I'll let you tell people what it is that you built. When you're a kid, your idea of success is finishing school, getting a job. When you've got the job, the idea of success becomes getting the promotion, getting the transfer, getting the good paycheck, working for the big company. When you discover self-empowerment through Orange Theory, you begin to add to that the piece of being aligned with your own personal values and vision of yourself and your place in the world. And also, Martin introduces you to the idea of I was going to say Marvin or Martin, and it's Martin, right? Martin was
Martin,
your
yeah.
Martin is your friend. Martin, your friend, has introduced you to this concept of, what are you going to be known for? The idea of how will people remember you? But now, instead of being the person who's hired, instead of being the person who has a paycheck, instead of being the person who has a lot of glory, you're at a low point here. This is the valley, not a lot of stuff. I would never be a person to question your grit or your perseverance based on the story that you've told me today. But what does success feel like when you're standing in the valley? Where do you remember your mind being as to what would success feel like that?
And that's a hard place for me not to get emotional in, because it felt really, really hard. I think for me, success at that point was literally like hearing from someone that it was gonna all work out.
And
Being
okay.
surrounded by community, and so going out on a coffee date, I was looking for the tiny, tiny, tiny little wins, because I literally just needed to stay afloat. Yeah, absolutely. Was I looking to sustain my family by bringing on clients? Absolutely. Like, that was a major one. But I was tallying the tiniest little things so that I could know that it could all work out. That's what success was. Success was literally putting my pants on. It
Yeah.
was jumping on a Zoom. It was applying for a speaking engagement. It was the small things, and small is relative. Small is so relative. For some, that's large, right? But for me, that's where I needed to go back to building things at 1%, and not worried about the amount of money I wanted to make in the year, or how many clients were going to come in, or anything like that. It was a day to day.
Day to day, minute by minute. All right. So you closed the business in 2023. You're in the valley. I want to give you a chance to tell people what it is that you do now, what it is that you built, and how they can find you online.
Awesome. So I dust myself off, and in August of 2023, rolled out a new business, which stands for Get Ready to Own Your Worth. So the acronym is GROW. Based on what I had learned, based on who was in my community, based on my amazing friends and family who had my back, the 1% continue, the small wins, but they start to stack up, and there starts to be some momentum. And I'm a big fan of a concept from Atomic Habits, James Clear, that says act as if. So basically, that means that if I want to be whatever I want to be, then I wake up every day and that is who I believe I am. And that is the actions that I take. I take aligned actions to wherever I want to go. So things start to ramp up. And then at the end of 2023, I have a massive click. And I'm like, and literally, I felt like, oh, okay. Now I get it. And my massive click was actually regarding money mindset.
Okay.
Will people pay me for this? Am I able to charge for that, et cetera? And with the money mindset now coming in as this piece of the puzzle, I'm like, okay, I can do this. So 2024 was absolutely amazing, Amy. I stepped all in into being a life coach, a business coach, and also a speaker. And I love my life. I love empowering women, and I love leading experiences and creating connection with and for others. And I will say that it's always, every day, still 100% about continuous growth. I don't sit here and I'm like, all right, we're good and we're set, right? I'm thinking about what's next and what other impact do I want to create? And for lack of a better word, Martin's phrase, what will you be known for?
What will you be known for?
What was that?
What will you be known for? Yeah. Yeah.
To put it all up into a tiny little bow here with a perfect little box. At this point, because of the work that I do, and because of what I know my father wanted out of his life, I don't see myself. I clearly the business is registered under me, but I say that my dad and I clock in every day together, and that I am just a facilitator of his message. So I clearly believe it myself because I'm living it, but that is how my relationship with my father has actually even been enhanced over the course of entrepreneurship, and even with him now being gone 24 years this year.
Right, it never ends. Yeah.
Thank you. So, what I tell folks, and this is a story I've also told myself with my own foster to adopt kids, is let us figure out our own version of success. And that's going to change over the course of our lifetime. I remember back in the day when going to college and thinking trade school, high school diploma, like, no, like, that's not success. Absolutely not true. And so challenging these societal norms about what is success for you and what is not success for you, I think is super important. Because frankly, my kids graduating from high school, actually just every day having a good life and being happy based on their background, that is success. It's not about a piece of paper that you have in your back pocket and what it tells you you can or can't do. And so this is one of the reasons I love entrepreneurship, because you can create anything you want to be.
I love that. I do. I do. I think that you and I met for the first time probably right in 2024. I'm gonna have to go back and look at when we actually first connected, but I remember that you had like the most detailed plan for what you were doing. You were like, I am gonna have this many phone calls, I'm gonna talk to this many people, and this is what I'm gonna do, and this is what's gonna happen. I was like, wow, I am impressed by that. So that is very good. You have a one, so the name of the business is Grow. You have a wonderful offer for the audience, which is your Women's Entrepreneurs Roadmap to Business Impact and Income. It has a free ebook, and also there is a session with you, which is normally got a fee, $97 or $150, and you can book a complimentary call with you, and you can grab that at superchargeyourbusiness.growthwithjenb.com. You don't have to write it down if you're listening, because I put it in the show notes. And the very best way to get it is to be a subscriber at imperfectadulting.com, because then I just email it to your inbox and you can click on it. No need to scramble for that. So now, Jen, are you ready? We're going to do the rapid fire questions and wrap it all up. All right. These are just for fun. They're not supposed to be related to anything that we've talked about before. I write them before the interview, so I don't know what people are going to say, right? So, all right, very good. This one I cheated on a little tiny bit. Which do you think is more unpleasant, a power outage in the winter in Colorado or a power outage in the summer of South Florida?
Oh, power outage in the winter in Colorado, hands down.
Worse? Really?
Hands down. Funny enough, I didn't grow up with AC in my house in
Okay.
Miami. So I'm just like, oh,
I
it's
cannot
just another
imagine.
day.
I cannot imagine.
Don't do cold well, Amy. I don't do cold well.
Well, neither do I, but that's why I still live here. Okay, so very, I did not, that would have, if I had, if we had bet on what you were going to answer there, I would have lost. Okay. If you had to eat the same thing for breakfast every day for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
I love chips and salsa. It doesn't matter, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I will eat chips and salsa any day, all day. So that's not clearly what I do, but if I have an option, that'd be it.
I love it. All right. Very, very good. All right. So I want you to think of the friend you've had for a very long time. How long have you known the oldest friend you can think of, and how often do you get to connect with them?
That is a great question. I'm probably gonna say about 20 some years, but honestly, connection has mostly come through the way of Facebook. So
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk about my best friend real quick, and that is my wife, and I talk to her every day.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, you didn't have to out the friend. Like, so I just like, you know, how long have you known? Facebook is great for old friends.
Is.
Facebook is really, really wonderful for old friends and photos and things like that. It's not so great for
Absolutely.
lots of other things, but for that, it really is good. The other thing I really love about it is it tells me when people's birthdays are. I would not ever remember to tell people happy birthday without Zuck's help. And the memories, I do sometimes love it when it's like 10 years ago. You were standing online in the grocery store, and I think to myself, why did I put that on social media? Like,
Yes.
who would ever have cared?
Today, a picture of my dog from 7 years ago came up, right? Because when somebody comments on it, then all of a sudden this 7 year memory now becomes today.
Yes.
So sweet. Well, thank you
There
for
you go.
having me, Amy. This has been
That's
great.
it, Jen. Thank you for being a wonderful guest on the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.